Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning into Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 18, Episode 30. This week, we heard Bob's conversation with Beth Shelburne about her season of Bone Valley, Ear Witness. If you have not already done so, go listen to Season 4 of Bone Valley because it's incredibly interesting and complex season and case. Janet isn't able to be with us today, but Bob and I are about to get into a deep conversation about our theories on this case. But before we get into that, I know we do have some housekeeping this week.
We do, and we'll find out here in a minute what your definition of deep is. What do we We don't have our adult in the room with us, so it's just me and Zach today. Yeah, housekeeping-wise, you guys have been asking and asking and asking. I am pleased to announce that I believe I have our Season 19 case selected. As I mentioned, you guys, I've been going through a few of them. There's one that's really been... I keep circling back to it and circling back to it. The person who submitted it was finally able to get me some documents about the case where I was able to look at some of the police documents. They're getting ready to send me the trial transcripts right now. But from everything I've seen, I'm 99% certain that it's the case that we're going to take for season 19. So that's awesome. We have a ton of documents. The only little hiccup that we have left is the case is the way it was described to me by the person who pitched it. I'm always trying to dance around, not give away much from it, is that the Innocence Project from this particular state has upgraded the case to active investigation. I don't know exactly what that means. So I know in some Innocence clinics with IPTX, when they're investigating a case, it does not mean they have taken the case. They have not assigned an attorney to it yet. It just means that they are really looking into investigating to determine if they're going to assign a lawyer to it. I do not know if that is the case in this particular state. So that's what I'm checking into now. That being said, this particular Innocence Clinic has been known to work very well hand in hand with podcasters and podcasts like ours in the past. So I think that it shouldn't be a problem either way, but that's one thing that I want to, verify, because as I mentioned, I don't want to get into a situation where, I start investigating something and then there's an attorney that wants us to hit the brakes on it.
Yeah, that's very disheartening.
Yeah, so hopefully that's not going to be the case. I'm very confident this is going to be the one. It's a really good, interesting case for a number of reasons. It seems to be a rock solid alibi that was ignored. The actual details of the case are very interesting. I think you guys, it was nothing we've ever done before. Yeah, I don't want to give it too much away. But anyway, good case. I am actively investigating it now. That said, I want to give you guys a heads up. I've been thinking a lot about this. And just to be very transparent with you guys, you guys know that I have been extremely busy and I've got a lot juggling, a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, I'm teaching full time. I've been taking college classes. I am finished with all of my college coursework, at least for a while here in a few weeks. So that's going to slow things down a little bit. But there's a lot of, these seasons like we're doing right now are helpful for me because it doesn't take a whole lot of prep work for me to put together interviews and put them out. I'm not under constant deadlines and scripts and all that stuff. I only have Erica here part time now. There's just been, and as you guys know, there's no secret. We've talked about it, and I'm sure a lot of the other podcasts have talked about it. The industry is really tough right now, so everybody's just struggling to make ends meet. For us, we're very lucky that we have a very active Patreon community that is keeping the lights on. Otherwise, quite frankly, we probably would we would be on sabbatical like so many other podcasts right now. The patrons are right now are what are keeping the lights on. But because of that, we don't have like the full operation that we've always had in the past to, you know, to keep going with long form seasons all the time. So I've been kind of wrestling with, you know, how are we going to handle this when we get into a new season, or we're right back to like deadlines where it had to be like research, investigation, interview, script, record, edit, you know, every single week. So I think what we're going to do is what pretty much all other long form investigative series do, or most other ones do, is I'm going to start investigating this case and start putting together season 19, at least a handful of the episodes. And rather than start and be doing putting out the main episodes in real time, our real time investigative piece will have much more to do with these follow ups. So the follow ups become, once we start season 19, much more interactive. I mean, that's always been the place where we discuss, you know, elements of the case. But as far as producing the main episodes, I would like to get to a point where I have, you know, 8 to 12 episodes done, ready to go before we start season 19. And then we'll release the main episodes on Sunday, and then our active real-time piece will be in the follow-ups. And that just seems, I mean, there's a reason everybody else does it that way, is because that's a much better model to do it. It's very difficult doing things. It was very difficult when I had me here full-time and Erica here full-time, or Mike before Erica, you know, and Zach and Janet helping, and I was able to travel and just spend, you know, devote 50, 60 hours a week to doing this. I just don't have that luxury anymore, but there's a reason that other shows do that. So what you can expect going forward is season 18 is going to continue probably for probably a couple more months. While it's continuing, season 19 will be being put together, so that hopefully we'll have better produced, but, you know, better scripted, you know, everything will be better with season 19, because we won't be cramming, you know, in 2 days trying to turn around episodes constantly. We'll have like, I'm going to take the time and with Erica and put these episodes together ahead of time before we start season 19. So just want to let you guys know that good news is we have a case. I think it's a solid case. I think season 19 is going to be a banger. This is going to be just produced a little bit differently. So in the meantime, I'm going to continue doing these. And I've said this many times, I enjoy seasons like this. These are nice for me because, you know, I always look at, you know, there's other, you know, like we've done this week, you know, other podcasts that I'm interested in. But then, you know, think of like interviews to do with like Dwayne Betts and some of the people like that, where it's like, oh, here's an interesting thing. I want to talk to that person and learn more about it. So we're going to keep doing that while season 19 is being produced. And then, Once it's all ready to go, then we will end season 18 and we will launch into our new long form case. But it is coming. I think we have the case, and I will keep you guys updated along the way as we go.
I think it's a great evolution. I think this is the correct evolution. I think this is a great evolution for Truth and Justice.
Yeah, I hope so. I always say I get frustrated. If you listen to our old seasons, you always hear like episodes like 1, 2, and 3 are like beautifully produced. And then after that, it's just like, it's just scripted me talk. It's just because, you know, I have all that lead up time to produce those first couple episodes. And then once it's like week, because this is what the process looks like. Because even when we were fully staffed, the process is, you know, I get up Monday morning and I'm researching and I'm taking whatever element that we're going to be talking about. And, you know, I read all the trial transcripts. I read the police files, the coroner report, whatever it is. All that material, and then I cross-reference that back to the other stuff and do my investigative work. That's like Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday night, we record the follow-up, and then Wednesday, I need to start turning that into a script, so I started putting into an outline. You know, Erica would help kind of start to outline those things. Then I'm writing script, and then I'm writing script all day Thursday, and then like by the end of the day Thursday, I have to get the script done and get it recorded, so that Erica can edit it on Friday morning. And then after Friday morning, then I got to come in Friday afternoon and put the music on it and get it all done, usually into Saturday, to get the episode ready to go on Sunday. And then Sunday, I take a breath. And then Monday, I start all over again.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a lot. And with my current, you know, circumstances, it's just not possible. So hopefully that works for you guys. Gracie in the chat says, so it'll be a mix between Truth and Justice and True Crime Binge. Kind of not when the season starts, Grayson. So once the season started, it'll be a normal long form season of Truth and Justice. The only difference will be, and you know, I could just not tell you guys yet, and it would seem the same. I'm just telling you, I'm letting you guys know that that's what's happening. It's just, you know, when episode 3 drops, I didn't write that episode 3 days before that. I wrote it, you know, a month before that. But so, yeah, so it'll be a mix in the fact that, you know, the in-between seasons like this one is kind of a true crime binge season. And then we'll do the long form normal season and we kind of bounce those back and forth with each other. So enough said about that. Only other housekeeping is, just like you guys, I am just patiently waiting for the West Memphis 3 results. They told us last we heard July. It is now August 3rd and we have not got the results. We did get word 2 or 3 weeks ago that the MVAC process had begun.
That's great. That's a good thing to know.
So it's not just at, because we've known it's been at the lab, the evidence for a long time. But they said they were actually like starting to extract and process the DNA to develop profiles. So like it's underway. They were telling us July then. So I know we keep saying this, but I mean, at this point, it just seems like it's got to be any day now.
Listen, at this point, I'm just happy to hear that it's moving.
Right.
Like, because for all we knew, it was gone.
Yeah.
You know, so at least to know that the MVAC process has started, at least we know that there's something being made. There's progress being made. So hopefully soon. Hopefully I sure soon. Hope so.
Should be soon. Any day now. Again, hopefully. Today's episode is brought to you by Vinted. Let me ask you something. How many things are hanging in your closet that you keep telling yourself you're going to wear, but you never do? I took an honest look at mine and found clothes taking up space that I haven't touched in a really long time. At some point, you gotta admit, you're probably not gonna wear that stuff again. And that's where Vinted comes in. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday sellers, people like you and me, to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Selling on Vinted is simple. Listing items is quick and easy, and once something sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. The app is free to download and there are no seller fees, so you keep everything you earn. That makes cleaning out the closet feel like a win. Less clutter, some extra cash, and your clothes get a second life instead of collecting dust. Vinted can also make it easier for you to refresh your wardrobe without spending a ton. So see what's hiding in your closet. You might be surprised at how much you can earn with Vinted. Download the Vinted app for free and start listing with no seller fees. And for a limited time, enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so that being said, we can move on to this week's episode. Again, this was one of those interviews that I did where I intended to listen to a couple of episodes of season 4 of Bone Valley, Ear Witness, just to get a feel for it. And then I do most of my research, you know, just by, you know, reading. And I just could not stop listening to this one. I binged the whole thing in 2 days. This case is to be honest with you, it's this and season 5 of Bone Valley are part of what made me kind of put the idea in my head of, I wonder how much better we can do if we spend the time and produce it ahead of time.
This is, I mean, phenomenally produced podcast. I mean, we don't talk about production a lot, or we shouldn't talk about production a lot. This is top notch. I mean, as production goes, beautifully done podcast.
Yes.
And then this case, the season 4 case, Ear Witness, unreal what's going on in this case. And truthfully, I did not know where this case was going. I did not know what to expect with this case, especially being called Ear Witness. I kind of took it probably too literal of an ear witness, because I was thinking about our past cases where somebody's like,
yeah,
like Jody's case where they're talking about the
Victoria or whoever.
Yeah. In the vehicle.
Yeah.
I was expecting something along those lines.
Me too.
Not an actual like hearing somebody say something.
Yeah. We should say this ahead of time. There is like this episode is if you haven't listened to season 4 of Bone Valley and you intend to, you should just hit pause on this and go listen to it.
Yes.
Before, because this is going to be all spoilers. Because like one of the questions is, can you break down the case? So where this is going to be all spoilers. So spoilers start now.
Sorry, guys.
On that, along those, they did such a good job of hiding the ball.
Mm-hmm.
In the, and they needed to, right? So like the story moves chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself like around episode 4 of the 8 going, who's the ear witness?
Yeah, I thought I'd missed it. I really thought I had missed it.
I thought it was maybe because they talk about like the guys that were like in the hotel that saw the car. I'm like, are they the ear witness? Yeah.
Well,
like,
and you hear the talk, the people talk about the gunshots.
Right.
So I'm like, are those the ear witnesses? What's the, when's it coming? When's it coming?
Yeah. Now you've just started listening to it.
I'm halfway through season 5. I am into the
episode 5.
Episode 5. I apologize. Episode 5. I am halfway through the trials right now. So I have heard a lot of the evidence. There's still some stuff.
I'm trying to think, was it around like episode 4 or 5 when the ear witness is
like, yes, it's
revealed?
Like, I think it's either the end of 4 or the beginning of 5. It's pretty new for me. So it's right in this window of when the ear witness is revealed. And how weird that is, even like the whole idea of that. I think we should back up before we even get to that, because the entire case is wild. I mean, I know we have a listener kind of comment about it where they talk about the idea of the first witness that came forward just changes her story nonstop, and not only is she changing her story continuously, you can almost tell that she's being led to change her story. Because the tape keeps stopping.
Yeah. Well, and then at one point, she testifies under oath that she wasn't, like, the whole thing was a lie.
Yeah.
And that she was being coerced into telling this story by the police.
It doesn't make any sense to me. The whole case is crazy. And I don't know if you've really paid attention. How many underage people are involved in this?
Yeah.
It is a massive amount of underaged people throughout the entire case that are being questioned and interviewed and subpoenaed. And I mean, it's just,
well, that ends up being one of the hangups is some of the alibi witnesses were a little concerned because they were partying at a club with fake IDs.
Yeah. That's crazy. So I know we could talk about stuff, but I'm afraid to jump too far ahead. Do you want me to read the first question and let you break it down? Then we can kind of go through it as we go.
Yeah, that's probably best because it's kind of all encompassing.
Right. So Byrne says, can you give us, that didn't listen to her podcast, an idea of what happened? What did the prosecutor allege happened?
Well, the last part of that question is hard to answer.
Yes.
So I'll start there at the end, then we'll go back to the beginning. I mentioned this a little bit last week when we had Kevin and Anya on, that there was this case where the prosecutor, you end up with two different defendants for the murder of Bill Hardy, who was a Jefferson County Sheriff's Department deputy, was kind of moonlighting as a security guard at this hotel. So, and he's shot and killed out behind the hotel. And so you have multiple trials, but ultimately DeForest Johnson is convicted of murdering Bill Hardy. And the prosecutor alleges that, you know, he was the gunman. He took a, you know, he I don't even remember because they kept changing the version of it. Oh, it was a drug bust, you know, that
it was a drug deal that there was an argument and Hardy kind of interrupted it.
And then they shot him.
Yeah.
And that's why the ear witness testimony comes in. Right. So he gets sentenced to death. After he gets sentenced to death based on that theory, the prosecutor then charges Adragas Ford, who was with DeForest that night, charges him with capital murder. And in that case, now, mind you, this is what I was talking about was so insane to me. DeForest Johnson is on death row because this prosecutor convinced a jury that he shot and killed Bill Hardy. While he's on death row, because he shot and killed Bill Hardy, that same prosecutor then tells a jury that Adragas Ford, who, by the way, is in a wheelchair, I don't remember what his disability was, but
if I remember right, he was in an altercation and shot. He was a paraplegic, had his spinal cord, I believe. I could be wrong.
Something like that.
It was something along those lines.
Yeah. So he's in a wheelchair. The prosecutor puts on evidence that there's an upward angle of the bullet, trajectory of the bullet and the shot to Bill Hardy's head. And that's how we know that Adragas Ford shot and killed him from his wheelchair, which would have been lower. So as far as what does the prosecutor allege happens, there's actually five different theories that the prosecutor has over the trials and everything put forward to the jury as far as different juries as far as what happened. But that's the one that, I mean, that's the one that just blew me away, is like, how do you go tell a jury that I, the prosecutor, believe this guy right here shot and killed this cop?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that 2 months ago, you told a different jury that this other guy shot and killed the cop.
So it actually went, they tried the gentleman in the wheelchair first.
Mm-hmm.
Mistrial.
Yep.
Hung jury mistrial. Tried to Forrest with a whole new theory. Hung trial, mistrial. And then tried them again with different theories.
Yeah, separate. Yeah, so it went Adragas, mm-hmm, mistrial. To Forrest, mistrial. To Forrest, conviction.
Yes.
Adragas, acquittal.
Acquittal, yes.
Afterwards. Yeah. So, yeah, four different trials. So, anyway, that as far as what the prosecutor alleged. Now, as far as the case itself. So, to get all the details, obviously listen to season four. But essentially, Hardy is working. He's a security guard. What we know is at some point he leaves his two-way radio and his cigarette burning in the ashtray, steps outside of his post, his security guard post, and somebody shoots him. And now there are witnesses that see, I want to say it was like a tan-colored car driving off.
I do believe that.
Right after the shots, yes, are fired. So meanwhile, you know, that happens, I don't remember what time it was, around midnight.
12:30 to 1 a.m.
Yeah, so somewhere in that range. Around 2 a.m.-ish, Tefores and Adragas and two other people, Yolanda and LaTanya, these two young girls that are with them, they get pulled over at like a different hotel across town for something completely different. They impound the car and everything. Not completely unrelated to this. Well, one of those teenagers, Yolanda, goes into the police station, and in her first interview, she just says, yeah, they were at this bar tease, they picked her up, then they went and picked up her friend LaTanya. She even talks about how LaTanya took forever to get ready, and they were waiting outside. Then they interviewed LaTanya. LaTanya tells the same story that, you know, she took a while, they were waiting for them. She goes out, gets in the car. And they go, Adragas's car, by the way, is what they were riding around in, was black, not tan. It's completely different. It was a black car. And they talk about how it was all like souped up for him to, like, with sticks and stuff, like taped to the pedals for him to be able to drive it. So eventually Yolanda goes in and she starts telling a story about how at first she says they went there and the guys disappeared. And there was two other guys. So there's four gentlemen there now. Tefores, Adragas, and then two other guys. Then she says, I want to say her first version was that they came running back, and
the first version is when they picked them up, Adragas said, my boy just smoked a cop.
That's right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that was the extent of the first version.
Right. And that, of course, doesn't work with, mm-hmm, the timing of everything. So then it keeps like evolving. To where then they're at the hotel. They go to this hotel. The guys disappear. They come back, and then he says they just smoked a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in that one they ask her, did you hear a gunshot or anything? And she says, no. This is when you're thinking like she's the ear witness,
right?
Eventually, she ends up telling the story that it evolves into the point where she saw the murder happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's four guys there. She sees the murder happen. It was Tefores and Adragas, and she becomes their star witness. But she's changed her story. I want to say the number stick in my head is like 23, but it was like 20 different versions of the story over and over again. So she keeps telling all these stories. So then they're getting ready to go to trial. She ends up going before a judge in a deposition and under oath says, it's all a lie. I made it up. She said the police were pressuring her. They were telling her what to say. None of it's true. She's recanting. Cops still decide, the prosecutor still decides to use her at trial, even without that. Like, that was like, just not, I don't remember what the terms of the hearing were. For what I have from memory, it's something like the judge was like, well, you know, why should we believe her now? She can still testify.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. So she's end up going to be, she's going to testify, but her testimony is pretty weak. I mean, it's all over the place.
Well, and weirdly, when she does recant, they drop charges against the other two that were named. There was four men total named.
Yeah.
So there was charges brought against all four men. When she recanted, for some reason, they dropped charges against two of them.
And left Tefores and Adragas as suspects, which, you know, Adragas, I guess they needed him because he had the car.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's absolutely banana. So meanwhile, the true story is Adragas and Tefores were at this bar Tease until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's a whole litany of witnesses that can account for their time, that are their alibi witnesses that can confirm, no, they were here the whole time. So as far as like, did these guys do it? You've got all these people that say they were at this bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they even asked them, like, get security footage, get receipts, whatever. Like, yeah. They can prove this. The cops never did, obviously. And then you have this witness who changes her story like 20 some times until she eventually says that they did it. And then she says that's all a lie. But they continue on with the prosecution of these two with nothing. Literally, the only evidence against them is her testimony, which is weak at best. Now, when Violet comes in, was that after Adragas's first trial or was it before his first trial?
Oh,
I want to say they tried Adragas first.
And then they also, when they petitioned to the grand jury, it was never brought up.
Yeah. So the grand jury for the indictment, there's all they have is Yolanda.
Mm-hmm.
Adragas's trial, all they have is Yolanda. He has a hung jury, and it was not a close hung jury. It was like, I want to say it was like 10 to 2, like 10 were voting to acquit and 2 were voting to convict, and they hung and they declared a mistrial. So then they're going to try it with it. They put him on the back burner and they're going to try Tefores for it. That's when comes forward this woman named Violet. What the hell was her last
Ellison?
Name?
Ellison.
Yeah. Violet Ellison. She is the ear witness. So this gets a little confusing, but she comes. Now, mind you, they're offering a $20,000 reward at this point. Violet comes forward and says that somebody from the jail called her daughter. And this whole thing, because they get, you know, they only get so many phone calls and they have to pay for the phone calls or whatever. Right. So there's a deal where an inmate called her daughter, Violet's daughter, and asked her to then call someone for his buddy, this girl named Daisy, on a three-way call so that his buddy Tefores could get on the phone and talk to this Daisy girl, because apparently Tefores didn't have the money to make the call or damn time or whatever. So however that works. So she claims to the state or to the police that when the three-way call got transferred around, her daughter put the phone down because, you know, the call wasn't for her. She just connected them and just let him go. That she picks up the phone and she's listening in. And in her first version to police, I don't remember exactly what the version was, but it got way worse at trial, that she overhears Tefores telling this Daisy woman that essentially confessing to her that he had done this. But in the first version, it was kind of in a roundabout way,
mm-hmm.
that she got the impression that he did this. By the time they get to trial, that story has come where he just gives every detail of the murder.
Right.
Exactly what he does, why he did it, that, you know, he tells them, well, he shouldn't have been getting in my business and I had to kill him, whatever she says. So she becomes, at this point, now the state drops Yolanda and Violet becomes the star witness, the ear witness, that she overheard this phone conversation. So they go to trial, and in the first trial, the defense puts up all these alibi witnesses from Tease, and they also put Daisy, the girl that he called, on the stand. And she testifies that he didn't tell me any of that. He didn't say anything right. like that. Like none of that's true. And what'd you say that
he said that the prosecutor says, maybe it wasn't that phone conversation that you're recalling, or maybe we have the wrong Daisy.
Yeah. Like Tefores had called a different Daisy who they don't know who it is.
Right. So they just found a witness named, in their theory, they found a witness named Daisy that talked to him
Right.
And maybe it's not the right one.
Yeah. Whatever, the jury wasn't buying it, and we have another mistrial. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. So then they go back and take him to trial again. Again, violates the, and I, to this day, and that's why I was asking her about the ineffective assistance of counsel on the interview, because it, it's not really addressed in the podcast. In the second trial, his defense doesn't put on any of the alibi witnesses. Mm-hmm. And then the only witness they call, they don't put Daisy on again, right?
Right.
Yeah, the Daisy isn't put on trial on the stand again. So now you have Violet saying this bullshit story, and he puts nothing on to defend it. But then the state or the defense puts Yolanda, the original witness, they put her on the stand, which was absolutely nuts. Like, I have no idea. There was, they had like one of the, like a defense attorney on the show, mm-hmm. on Ear Witness. And he's like, there's only one person in the whole world that could tell that jury that DeForest Johnson was on that crime scene. And it was Yolanda. And that's what we put on. And this reason was because the version of the story that Violet said happened is different than the version that Yolanda said happened.
Right.
So he tried to use Yolanda to impeach Violet, but she was still saying that he fucking did it.
Yes.
So he gets convicted and sentenced to death. Hey, everybody. Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday Follow-Up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, in the Yolanda story, which Teresa brought up in the chat, and we started to mention it too, when she gave her interview, she changed her story multiple times, but you can actually hear the tape stop. And yeah. Then when the tape starts again, the detective or officer questioning her does mention what time it is, and there are huge gaps in time.
Yeah.
Like sometimes there's 40-minute gap in time, and then her story is completely changed.
Yeah. And Beth interviews that cop, mm-hmm. and he was just like, no, I mean, we'll stop it for a bathroom break or something like that.
I was so listening to Beth interview that police officer and hear that, and then hear some of the other things he said was so extremely disheartening.
Yeah.
As to what they're saying and what they're doing. Or if you hear the moment that he is interviewing DeForest. When he's first talking to DeForest, when they first bring DeForest in, and he's hammering DeForest, and DeForest is like, I don't know, I don't know. And he goes, yeah, but you do know what you did, you know? And it's like, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do this, but you did. So you might as well tell me.
Yeah.
And he just keeps, which I understand part of it is their job, but at the same point, it's so sick.
It reminded me so much of, I remember when I interviewed Jason Baldwin years ago, the way he put it, like his interrogation, the way he put it was, they just wouldn't accept the truth.
Right.
He said, they kept asking me for the truth. I would tell them the truth, and then they would refuse to accept the truth, and they wanted me to tell their truth.
Right.
And it's like, that's what you hear with DeForest. But yeah, so anyway, he gets convicted in that trial because the defense was garbage. And then after that, then they put on Dragas on trial again. He has a really good, DeForest has a public defender with a big caseload, whereas Dragas has like a very, very well-renowned private attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He gets acquitted. He has since passed away since then. But then, so that's the case. Since then, that's where Beth's work as an investigative journalist is just amazing. So she's like poking around, trying to find something. This whole, you know, and she actually goes and finds Violet Ellison, the ear witness, and talks to her. And the first time she talks to her, she sounds like, well, this is a good person. You know, she at least thinks she heard what she heard, and she seems like a nice lady. But then she like puts her name into like a case law search tool and finds out that her name is attached to four other cases. You haven't got to this part yet.
I have not.
Yeah. So, and she starts looking into them, and she has, I skipped a spot. She claimed she never received any of the reward.
I have listened to that part where they talk about that.
Yeah. And she says, no, I never got a reward. Da, da, da. Mm. And everybody said she didn't get a reward. Well, Beth does some more digging and does some more digging, and they end up finding a document, or the attorneys or whatever find the document where it shows that she was paid $5,000. And it said that she testified, you know, in pursuit of the $5,000 reward. It said it right in the document.
Oof.
that she got it. And they didn't have the document where it was approved for her to get the payment. She was paid by, and she denied that. And then eventually, you know, she stopped talking to Beth once she caught her in that lie.
Yeah.
So then there was an appeal based on that, to which the prosecution is such shitbags.
Mm-hmm.
Like they come in and the prosecution admits that she came to them in pursuit of this reward. And then she testified, but they still believed her testimony. Violet testifies, I didn't even know there was a reward until they called me 2 years later and gave it to me, or whenever it was, which is bullshit. But then after she says that, then the prosecution comes back and changes their story to she didn't even know there was a reward, even though they had just said previously that, yeah, she came looking for the reward. That's right. Why she got it. Yeah. And there's also like a hidden secret file where they keep the reward payout stuff separate from the other files. And like there's some insider in the courthouse like tipped Beth off to the fact that the file was kept somewhere else. So there's that whole piece of it. But then she starts looking at like, how has she been attached to four other cases? Well, as it turns out, she has served as like the star witness in four other prosecutions.
That's wild.
Yeah. And she goes down and starts like, and you have to listen for all these details, but she goes and starts, Beth goes and like tracks all these like people down who she testified against to figure out like what the deal was. And she's pretty consistent, like one for sure. Like it was like proven beyond any doubt that she was, she testified, I think it was a domestic case or something like that, but she testified that she was looked out her bedroom window and saw this man do this thing to this woman. And I think it resulted in conviction. I don't remember how, or it might've been on the plea. I don't know where it was all at in the process, but then it was proven there was like trees between, like she couldn't even see that house from her house.
Oh, goodness.
Like it was what she said happened was impossible. So then that gets Beth, she starts looking into like people who knew her and people who have interactions with her. And just one person after another that just say that, you know, she is money hungry. She's a scammer. She would just lie. She doesn't care. Like she's this horrible, wretched person. It's rough. Every single person she talks to is about this ear witness, Violet, really just tears her apart. So, yeah, Teresa in the chat says similar to Jody's case. Yeah, very similar to Jody's case. as far as, yeah, in a lot of ways, it's reminiscent of season 15 of Jody's case. So, yeah, long story short, by the end of it, now everybody's come around. The new prosecutor, even the police officer, everybody thinks that this conviction needs to be overturned. The current prosecuting attorney has petitioned to overturn this conviction. And now the attorney general's office at the state is refusing to do it. So that's kind of where things land now. But yeah, it is an absolutely wild, wild case.
So here's a question that I have about all of this. And I don't know that you can answer it, but I'm going to ask it. I know it's more of a legal question. But the whole ear witness idea, the idea that she was able to pick up the phone and hear this conversation, isn't that hearsay?
Yeah, so there's an exception to hearsay, and that was one of the, I don't remember if I said this in the interview with Beth or when I was talking to her offline, but I was like, man, it was hard for me to come up with an interview because every time I'm listening, I'm like, oh, well, what, and I had that exact same question. You just haven't got there yet.
Okay.
I'm like, how is that not hearsay? And then she addresses, it's not hearsay because there's an exception to the hearsay rule that involves, essentially it has to do with someone confessing to a crime. That you're allowed to testify hearsay if what you're testifying to is the person who is on trial confessing or something. I don't remember the exact detail,
but there was a
reason within the law that allowed that hearsay testimony to come in.
Okay, because that's all I could think of when I was hearing
same.
This. Is I was like, I'm not a legal expert, but that seems like hearsay. That seems like
sure
what
seems like it.
Everything that I know about what hearsay is, that seems like hearsay.
Yeah, like by definition, you're saying I heard someone say something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't directed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's also a big part of it, right? Like if you hear me say something, but it's not directed to you, it's considered hearsay.
Right.
But if I told you...
Even that, in most cases, hearsay. So you'll see like when you read trial transcripts. So say you and I are having a conversation and you said something that I find to be incriminating. When I'm on the stand... The lawyer will ask me and say, so when you talk to Zach, don't tell me what he said, but after talking to him, did you get the impression that such and such happened? Because it is here. I'm not allowed to, even though you said it to me, I'm not allowed to say what you said unless it falls into one of the hearsay. One of the exemptions is like, for example, like impeachment, I think is one of them. So like if somebody gets on the stand and lies about something, and then you're coming up to give evidence that they lied in cross-examination, then you can... There's all kinds of different little little ways to get around the, you know, they're called hearsay exceptions, but apparently there's one that has to do with, which I guess makes sense because we've heard so many cases, you know, Carrie Max Cook, you know, where somebody's saying, yeah, I heard him confess,
yeah,
you know, jailhouse snitches, he confessed to me, that's all, that would all be hearsay,
right?
But it's not hearsay because they were confessing. Apparently
that's so strange to me. This is such a fascinating case. I have not finished the season. I am 100% finishing this season before I do anything else. And I'm so excited about it.
Right.
I don't know if excited is the right word, but I am so enthralled with it right now.
That's how I was. Like I said, I intend to listen to two or three episodes. I binged the whole thing. And I know we have another question, which I'll touch on real quick. Somebody else had asked a question. Who was it? Ashton wanted to know, he doesn't understand how a cop would interview when a witness changes their story so many times, how they didn't figure out that they were lying. There's a simple answer to that. They did know she was, I mean, she, in my opinion, based on what I'm hearing, she didn't just change her story and they bought it. They told her what to say.
Right.
Over and over again. Is how that happens.
And I think the biggest evidence to that is there's a section where she says, we pulled up to the side of the building. They went around front. I heard gunshots. They came around back to the car and left. The police officers know that he was shot at the back entrance.
In the back of the building, yeah.
Not the front. So then the tape stops, and when the tape starts, the story is now we parked at the back, and I saw them shoot him at the back.
Yeah.
And that is within, you know, two clicks of the recorder.
Right. And so, yeah, the answer to your question is this is, I don't think this was a case where the cops got bamboozled by this witness.
Mm-hmm.
This is a case where the cops used a vulnerable person and made them into the witness they wanted.
And mind
them to
you,
be.
She's 15 at the time of this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that is a very moldable person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. The cop kept saying she was street smart.
Right, right. And didn't the cop also say, I think Teresa said, but didn't the cop also say, you can either be a witness or a defendant?
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yep.
To which she had to ask what a defendant was.
Mm-hmm.
Which lets you, you know, understand where this 15-year-old is at.
Yeah, and how much she understands about the system that she's getting sucked into. So with that said, I interrupted my own segue, but it was a perfect spot for when Zach was talking about how awesome and bingeable this is. It is that way. And I had the exact same experience with the next season of Ear Witness, which is going to be this Sunday's episode.
Bone Valley.
Oh, what did I say? Ear Witness. Yeah, Bone Valley. Yeah, so we had Beth on from season 4 of Bone Valley this week, and this coming Sunday, so when you hear this Friday in 2 days, I have Paul Solitaroff, who is the host of season 5 of Bone Valley. And it was another one, dude. Like, I mean, I did the same thing. I started listening to it. I want to get a little bit into it, research the case, and I was hooked and listened to all 8 episodes of season 8. Paul is super interesting. First of all, if you listen to season 5 of Bone Valley, right away, the first thing I thought, if anybody that listens to audiobooks, and I told Paul this when I talked to him, how are you not narrating horror books? Like, his voice is like, and then they went, it's like, it just, he's like, it's, his voice is spooky as shit.
Awesome.
Yeah. But he is, the only way I can describe him, and I say this on the episode you're going to hear on Sunday, is you're a motherfucker. Like, he is I would not want to cross this man.
Oof.
He investigates this case. So if you want to do some homework before Sunday, listen to season 5 of Bone Valley. Investigates this case, gets to the point where the innocent person is exonerated, but they're still like the person they think they know. We're certain pretty much we know who committed the crime is still out there, and there's nothing else that the person who got acquitted that got his conviction overturned can really do about this point. And he's just like, but I can. And he's like, and I'm still going. And it, and like, I'm having chills this thing because season 8 ends.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, or excuse me, season 5 ends. And he's like, we're going to be back. And just like, I mean, in a few weeks from now. And it just ended. Like he's like, we're going to be back in a couple months with season 2 of, or season 6, which is season 2 of his series, where we're going to continue on. And he is just like, and you hear him like live record, like real recordings of him talking to this guy that's in prison. And it, I said, oh, you a motherfucker. He is a badass. He is and he's, if you look him up, Paul, he has a history of just being a relentless investigative reporter and a true justice warrior. So that's what's coming up on Sunday. So you guys can, if you want to do some pre-listening, I would highly recommend listen to season 5 of Bone Valley. Check it out. The season 5 just ended and season 6 is about to start. And so we got Paul coming on Sunday. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. Co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been
Truth and Justice.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.